Warden Dresden, the Merlin said heavily. Your history of conflict with Warden Morgan, acting in his role as a Warden of the White Council, is well known. You should be advised that any damning testimony you give will be leavened with the knowledge of your history of extreme, sometimes violent animosity. The Merlin wasn't the Merlin for nothing. He had instincts enough to sense that maybe the game wasn't over yet after all, and he knew how to play to the crowd. He wasn't warning me so much as making sure that the wizards present knew how much I didn't like Morgan, so that my support would be that much more convincing. I understand, I said. The Merlin nodded. Proceed. I beamed at him. I feel just like Hercule Poirot, I said in my reasonably functional Latin. Let me enjoy this for a second. I took a deep breath and exhaled in satisfaction. The Merlin had masterful self-control. His expression never changed, but his left eye twitched in a nervous tick. Score one for the cartoon coyote. I first became suspicious that Morgan was being framed, well, basically when I heard the ridiculous charge against him, I said. I don't know if you know this man, but I do. He's hounded me for most of my life. If he'd been accused of lopping off the heads of baby bunny rabbits because someone accused them of being warlocks, I could buy that. But this man could no more betray the White Council than he could flap his arms and fly. Working from that point, I hypothesized that another person within the council had killed Lafortier and set Morgan up to take the blame. So I began an independent investigation. I gave the senior council and the watching crowd of wizards the rundown of the past few days, leaving out the overly sensitive and unimportant bits. My investigation culminated in the theory that the guilty individual was not only trying to fix the blame upon Morgan, but planting the seeds of a renewed outbreak of hostilities with the vampire White Court by implicating them in the death. In an effort to manipulate this person into betraying himself, I continued, I let it be known that a conspirator had come forward to confess their part in the scheme and would address members of the White Council at a certain place and time in Chicago. Working on the theory that the true killer was a member of the council, indeed, someone here at headquarters in Edinburgh, I hypothesized that he would have little choice but to come to Chicago through the way from Edinburgh, and I had the exit of that way placed under surveillance. I held up the manila envelope. These are the photographs taken at the scene of everyone who came through the way during the next several hours. I opened the envelope and began passing the senior counsel the photos. They took them, looking at each in turn. Ebenezer calmly confirmed that the images of the wardens exiting the way together with himself, Mai, and Listens to Wind were accurate. Other than this group, I said, I believe it is highly unlikely that anyone from Edinburgh should have randomly arrived at the way in Chicago. Given that the group was indeed assaulted by creatures with the support of a wizard of council-level skill at that meeting, I believe it is reasonable to state that the killer took the bait. I turned, drawing out the last photo with a dramatic flourish worthy of Poirot, and held it up so that the crowd could see it while I said, So why don't you tell us what you were doing in the Chicago area last night? Wizard Peabody. If I'd had a keyboard player lurking nearby for a soap opera organ sting, it would have been perfect. Everyone on the senior council, except Ebenezer and, for some reason, the gatekeeper, turned to stare slack-jawed at Peabody. The senior council's secretary sat perfectly still beneath his little lap desk. Then he said, I take it that you have proof more convincing than a simple visual image. Such things are easily manufactured. In fact, I said, I do. I had a witness who was close enough to smell you. On cue, Mouse stood up and turned toward Peabody. His low growl filled the room like a big, gentle drum roll. That's all you have? Peabody asked. A photo? And a dog? Mai looked as if someone had hit her between the eyes with a sledgehammer. That, she said in a breathless tone, is a foo dog. She stared at me. Where did you get such a thing? And why were you allowed to keep it? He sort of picked me, I said. The Merlin's eyes had brightened. My, the beast's identification is reliable? She stared at me in obvious confusion. Entirely. There are several other wizards present who could testify to the fact.
Yes,
rumbled a stocky, bald man with an Asian cast to his features.
It's true,
said a middle-aged woman with skin several tones darker than my own, maybe from India or Pakistan.
Interesting, the Merlin said, turning toward Peabody. There was something almost shark-like about his sudden focus.
Working on the evidence Dresden found, Ebenezer said, Warden Ramirez and I searched Peabody's chambers thoroughly not 20 minutes ago. A test of the inks he used to attain the signatures of the senior counsel for various authorizations revealed the presence of a number of chemical and alchemical substances that are known to have been used to assist psychic manipulation of their subjects. It is my belief that Peabody has been drugging the ink for the purpose of attempting greater mental influence over the decisions of members of the senior council, and that it is entirely possible that he has compromised the free will of younger members of the council outright, listens to Wynne's mouth opened in sudden surprise and understanding. He looked down at his ink-stained fingertips and then up at Peabody. Peabody may not have seen the man turn into a grizzly, but he was bright enough to know that Injun Joe was getting set to adjust another relative ass-to-ears ratio. The little secretary took one look around the room, and then at my dog. The expression went out of his face.
The end, he said calmly and clearly, is nigh. And then he flung his spare pot of ink onto the floor, shattering the glass. Mouse let out a woofing bark of warning and knocked Molly backward off of the bench as a dark cloud rose up away from the smashed bottle, swelling with supernatural speed, tendrils reaching out in all directions. One of them caught a warden who had leapt forward toward Peabody. It encircled his chest and then closed. Everything the slender thread of mist touched turned instantly to a fine black ash, slicing through him as efficiently as an electric knife through deli meat. The two pieces of the former warden fell to the floor with wet, heavy thumps. I'd seen almost exactly the same thing happen once before, years ago.
Get back!
I screamed.
It's Mordite!
Then the lights went out, and the room exploded into screams and chaos.